41. There are a couple of issues which we're discussing here, which have to do with they primarily have to do with what it says, Balash or Naki. Says that the owner of a short town, if his ox murders a human being, right, ox scores a human being to death, he's exempt. What's he exempt from? So the Gemara assumes that we know, it's obviously he's exempt from kofin. That's a given, that the ox, his owner, is exempt from ransom, right, because ransom for the individual who was killed is can't be paid from the short town, because the short town is going to be put to death, and a town only pays up to and including its own value from its own body. So therefore, it's obvious, it would seem, that short town is exempt from kofar. Although Rabbi Lezer said yesterday there's a scenario in which we still need an exemption, the case where the short town intended to kill an animal instead of kill the human being, there would still need the exemption. But Rabbi Akiva doesn't use Bala Shornaki for that purpose. He uses it for another purpose. And let's take it from the third line down. Mamakam Rabbi Akiva Bala Shornaki. What does Rabbi Akiva do with the words Bala Shornaki? Naki Dmei Eved. If the ox gores an Eved to death, gores a slave to death, normally when a slave is killed by an ox, if the ox is a Shor Muad, if the ox has already been gored three times, you pay $30. But if the short time goes and ever to death, then that's exempt. So as Rabbi Leiser, Rabbi Akiva, Nakim Michati Koifer, does Rabbi Akiva not use Bala Shornaki, that pasuk, to teach us that a short time does not pay half ransom in case of killing a regular Jew? Says Mar, no. He doesn't use it for that purpose because he has a pasuk which says, in Koifel Yushasalov, if Kofel will be bestowed upon the owner, and that's b'mur ha'kosim d'abre, that's dafka an ox, which is already mur, which has already undergone the process of three gorings. And vice versa, as the more of Leser, Rabbi Lezer, Noki, would be Evid. Does Rabbi Lezer not hold of what we just said, according to Rabbi Akiva, that it's used to say Noki, would be Evid, that we use the Baal HaShor Mur, Baal HaShor Noki, to teach us that you don't pay for the death of a slave, for when the short time kills a slave? Says one, no. Nemar kana shoyi sakel. Because he also learns that out from elsewhere. Says here, the ox which gores is put to death. But nemar lahalana shoyi sakel. And says later on, the ox which gores is put to death. Ma shor shenemar lahal. In other words, says by Evet that the ox is killed. And it says later on, but by Amuah that the ox is killed. Just like over there where it says, so which is stated in the case of paying $30 for the death of a slave, specifically a shore muad. Doesn't it also say by a short time that kills? So why do you make Xavier Shava between Muad and Evid only? Make a Xavier Shava between Evid and Tam as well. So says Gemara Amar, the Gemara says, Mutab Yilmana Shori Sakel Mi Shori Sakel. That's the close Xavier Shava, even though it's arbitrary, kind of, but there's a much more greater resemblance and affinity between Ashrei Sakel and another Ashrei Sakel. And that teaches us that a Muad only is in the Parsha of Koifer. Of the $30 for the slave which is killed. We don't learn now Ashrei Sakel from the less identical language of Sokoi Sakel Ashor, which is stated by short time, but this we deduce that a short time is exempt from paying Chatzi Kofar. There is no from paying half of the $30 for a slave in case it kills a slave. Rabbi Yasser, said, Mile Shame Min Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak. I heard a certain vault about our sugya from Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak Chacha concerning our discussion. The lace on a Yada Mahu. He says quite openly, I don't remember what it is. I don't remember what I heard from him. Amalei Rabbi Zira, Zira said, Dil Madahi. Maybe this is what you heard from him. That's an interesting point. Initially, now, we could go through Pesukim inside, but I'll spare you, because I spared myself. First, the Pesukim are speaking about when they're talking about goring people to death, they're talking about Tom. Then it switches and talks specifically about Muad vis-a-vis Kofir. Then it brings in again Tom, leading the talking in terms of damages opposed to Kofir, which applies in case of death. We go back to speaking about Tom in terms of damages. We say, since it was brought back into the picture for the purpose of discussing damages, where Moore pays full damages, Tom pays half damages. So maybe once he's dragged back into the conversation, so too the short time is also included in the discussion of half paying an Eved, and he would have to pay for half the value of an Eved, the $15. Baal Sharnaki teach us Naki Mid Mayeved that the owner of the Mashur is exempt from paying for the death of the slave again specifically of course by a short time. Amar Rabbi Loh said, I got a problem with this logically. Always, Eved is more severe, the killing, interesting perspective. The killing of an Eved is more severe than the killing of a regular human being. Why is that? By an ox, of course. Because by a regular, Shafilu Mukeshkin, no sin Shloshim Sela. Because even if you kill an Eved which is afflicted with boils and leprosy, you always pay $30. Even though the Eved might be worth far less than $30. You always pay $30, right? So that means Eved is more severe than any other area, right? Because you're paying far more than what the Eved is worth, right? So if that's the case, so I should say that there certainly should be kofair, right? There certainly should be, I'm not kofair, there certainly should be a tam should certainly pay. Ha'isi omer af. There it says, Ba'avi v'yimo. Everybody goes nuts. Nobody understands what father and mother has to do with this, right? So there are all sorts of ways of reinterpreting that, rephrasing it, changing the Rosh Tevis. Bnei Moshe says, B'chol Asar, it was a Rosh Tevis, B'chol Asar ve'asar, or, and somebody extracted those two words from the Rosh Tevis erroneously. The Shai Teres Yisrael, though, he's probably wrong, but he just goes and changes it to Avivim, to short time. So, which as far as I'm concerned, will do the trick now. So, Yisrael Mer after short time came. I would say by short time, that's the case as well. That there should be a payment. In other words, if we're so machmir that even if the evidence Mukeshkin, the mask gets $30, so I should say short time also has got to pay, the mask has got to pay Koifer. That's why it says Tamulomar Ubala Shornoki. It says Bala Shornoki. Now, the Xavier Escorial, the Escorial manuscript, adds here an entire line, and this line is critical, actually. It makes things much more palatable if we add on this line. So let's add on the line. Ubala Shornoki that we have in the Gemara. That's 1-6 lines down, right? Now at the end of that line he adds Noki Mid Mayevin, which would make sense to be the conclusion of Rabbi Law's words. Rabbi Law is saying, despite the fact that Eved seems more severe, nevertheless, Baal Sharnaki teaches us that by Eved, if the shore is the time, there is no $30 payment, right? Now comes the new Braisa, which you don't have in the Gemara. Tani Rishayim, which is in the Sifri. Tani Rishayim, in the Escorial manuscript. Tani Rishayim, Rabbi Lezer ben Azariah. It says, I just want to tell you, this Mamash Hashgacha brought this, and that 2 years ago I happened to run across these two books by Lieberman, not in the normal fashion. Found this on the web in an antiquarian bookstore in Amsterdam. So it's a special Siat Dishmai that I actually found these books and have them now because they're very very useful in learning these Masechtas. So. Thank you, Kodesh Baruch Hu, for that Siyata Dishmaya. In any event, so here it says here, so again, he adds in a Bryson. All this you don't have in the Gemara. Tani b'shem Elozim Nazari, Baal Ashor Noki, an author of Baal Ashor Noki. Noki mitvei vlodos. Now here he picks up back in the Gemara. Noki mitvei vlodos. That's interesting drasha. That means is that normally if you are, this case in Parsha Mishpatim as well, you're fighting with a man and you intend to hit him, and instead you hit a woman who was pregnant nearby and she miscarries, right? So the law is you have to pay for her miscarriage. You have to pay, that's called mitvei vlodos. If an ox does the same thing, an ox causes miscarriage, shteit dochen pasuk, here we're learning that it says that the owner of the ox is potter from the mitvei vlodos. He doesn't have to pay for the miscarried fetuses. So, ask more one second. V'chol asar at machmir b'mu'ad mitam. All over, no matter what, there is, you're more machmir by a mu'ad than a tam. Here, you're being more machmir by a tam than you are by a mu'ad. Now, I'd be more machmir that we have a special service of kosov, baal ashor noki, in order to exempt the tam from paying the mevlados. It sounds like there'd be more of a reason to require a tam to pay the mevlados than there would be to require a mu'ad to pay the mevlados. Because there's no specific limud which bars the mu'ad from paying the mevlados. We just assume that a mu'ad doesn't pay the mevlados. So why distinction? Why would we assume that more readily that a tam would pay the mevlados and mean a special preclusion as opposed to a mu'ad paying the mevlados, right? You understand the...
Why is a mu'ad exempt from
the mevlados? We don't know yet. We haven't seen it yet.
Why even assume that?
That he's exempt? I'll tell you, it's a good question. What I was going to explain it momentarily. Elokeini. This is the way to learn it. And this is actually quite cute. Anoshim she'enu miskavnim chayovim. What's the Bashi story about? It's about two men who are fighting with each other. They don't intend to hit the woman, right? They intend to hit each other. They intend even to kill each other. But they don't intend to kill the woman, right? So the people don't intend to kill her. They intend to kill each other. They're the ones who are chayav in the mevlados, right? Right? So anoshim she'em miskavnim chayovim shoyrim she'em miskavnim. Since it says in pasuk, now it's not explicit here yet, but it's going to be more explicit in a few more lines. Shtei tochen pasuk ki notzu anoshim men. That comes to exclude animals, oxen. But the similar kind of oxen, what oxen does exclude? So too, just like anoshim she'em miskavnim chayovim, the converse of that shvarim. Shvarim, which don't have a mind to kill this specific woman, but have a mind to kill other people, are potter as well. What kind of ox has a mind to kill people? A mu'ad, right? So it means violent men are chayav to pay the mevlados. Violent oxen, by definition, are therefore exempt, because it says anoshim, not shvarim. But ha'ima yu miskavnin. But if they had kavana, now kavana here is a little bit difficult because what it really means to say is a short time. Later on, the Iskoria manuscript actually corrects it to Tommy in the next version of this discussion. But it sounds like if they had in mind to and here it means even a short time which attacked this specific individual, right? This specific woman. So I might say a short time which attacked a specific individual is chayav. It's liable. So kamashma that it's not shbar shor noki, that it's not liable. Now again, the way we got this a little bit convoluted. We said anoshim who are prone to violence are chayav. Oxen, therefore, which are prone to violence, are exempt. It must, but maybe oxen which are not prone to violence, but attack the woman directly, are liable, right? So now we need Baal Ashor Noki to say that even they're not liable. One more time. Men who are not prone to violence, they're liable, right? Because they were intended to kill somebody else, so instead they kill this woman, they're liable to pay. oxen, since it says anoshim, must not be liable. But that's only oxen where they had a mind to kill somebody else and killed this person instead, right? They're mu'at to kill, and instead they got this woman and caused it to miscarry. But that would indicate that a direct attack by an ox, where the ox directly attacks, and even without warning, even at time, should be liable to pay the meiblos. That's in Baal Sharnoki to say that case, the also, the ox is exempt from paying. So says the Gemara, again, Tamlo Baal Sharnoki, Noki with meiblos. Now that was not very clear. In fact, some of Achronim erased that whole passage, though I don't think it's necessary. But now the Gemara gives another brisa, which really expands and makes easier what we just said. Tani Choram, we have another brisa which basically repeats this discussion. With Tani, it says, Baal Ashor Noki. Baal Ashor is Noki, he's exempt. Noki meet Mei Vlados, he's exempt from paying for the fetuses. Vlase Ksiv, so why do I need Baal Ashor Noki? Doesn't say V'chi Natsu Anashim. Ray says, Ki Natsu Anashim, when men fight, Anashim V'lo Shvorim. Then that teaches us, like you said a few moments ago, men and not oxen. Rabbi Chagai said theoretically, yes, but Kinimas, this is the way to read the Brisa. Anoshim Shemis Kavni Chayovim. I would have said, men who don't have Kavana are liable. Don't have Kavana to kill this one, they have Kavana to kill another one. They're liable for paying for the miscarriages. Shvorim Shemis Kavni, oxen which don't have Kavana to kill A but to kill B, perhaps they're touring because it says Anoshim, not Shvorim. But if they were, and here the Escoria manuscript says it actually outright Tamin. But if they were Tamin, meaning out of the blue they aimed themselves at somebody and started goring that person and caused miscarriage. Yeah, you Chayovin, in that case we say that if they're Tam, they're Chayev. Tamlomer Baal Shor Noki, that's it says Baal Shor Noki, Noki mean Mayavlor, those that the Baal Shor is exempt. And pain may blood us no matter what the case is. Okay? So far, so good? It took me hours to figure that out today. I don't even know if I still figured it out, but it took hours.
It defies logic, because if a Tom.
Yeah, you know why it defies logic? Because nothing of the principle killing really rob him in it. Sometimes the more severe. The more heinous the crime, the less the path of the monetary penalty, because monetary penalty doesn't fit. So therefore, attack it makes sense to say that a mu'ad might be exempt from monetary penalty, because it's not sufficient. I mean, the master of the mu'ad, because it's not sufficient to appear. He has to burn in hell. It's not sufficient to get let him pay his way out of hell. Let him burn. So that's really the way you have to think of it. Okay, that helps, right? Okay.
I was going to say that Adam Mu'ad La'alam and his Chayim, so a Shor Mu'ad should be in the same category.
Right, but it's not necessarily the case because, in fact, right, as I just said, you know, the Adam Mu'ad La'alam, but still the fact is that, you know, they didn't intend to kill this person. But a Shor, if it's a Shor Mu'ad, so it makes much more sense that the master is much more negligent in that. He let this wild ox roam around. Therefore, kaparoth money would not be sufficient. As opposed to a tam, right, where it would be sufficient. So that would make it more palatable. Says the Gemara, the lace thief says the Gemara, does it not say, wait a second, you created this artificial dichotomy, which we don't even like here, which says that the oxen are the ox, are specifically muadim. Why? Because it's saying the oxen which didn't have kavana. Oxen which didn't have kavana, not that they were innocent, but rather they didn't have kavana to kill this, they would have had kavana to kill somebody else. Says the Gemara, we don't buy that. The Lask Tziv doesn't say now. The pshat I'm giving is my own pshat, and it's also in the Gemara in Yushami in Nazir, and it's an edger in this way, and it's kind of a little bit shocking that Moshe doesn't interpret it this way, but I saw the Lieberman brings down that this is the Pasha Pshara we're about to learn. The Leitzkzib Kinatsu Kiriva. The two psukim very adjacent to each other. The four psukim apart. One place it says that if men fight, right, and one of them hits each other, and he falls down, and doesn't die, but he's in bed. So then, and the guy who hits got to pay for his doctor bills. That's the chirivon. Then it says v'chinatzu. Chinatzu means if two people are fighting and one of them, you know, inadvertently strikes on, it's a pregnant woman, they have to pay for the miscarriage. That's the second puzzle, right? So it says these two psukim. One about the fighting between two men and they kill the fetuses of a woman, and the other about the fighting between two men and one of them falls down and has to be treated by a doctor. Matzah and meriva are the same thing. Now, what does matzah and meriva mean? They're both about fighting. Therefore, so what if they're the same thing? So therefore, what can you make between the two of them? Xer Shabbat. We have that several times in the Bavli language. It says, Shava Kohen, Uboa Kohen, Zui Shiva, Zui Bios, or Rabbi Shmuel makes a Xer Shava based on the concept, now even if the word is not precisely the same. So too here, we have a Xer Shava between Mechi Natsu and Mechi Rivun. So it says, well, if that's the case, Ma'alaon Miskavin, Akamin Miskavin. Look it. In the case of the people, you know, where two people are fighting, and one knocks the other down and he has to go get a doctor, he's Mekaveh. He has a mind to kill, to hit that person, right? And Makam Shemis Kavin, Avlaham Shemis Kavin. And vice versa. In the case of where they two people fighting, they hit a woman, they didn't intend to hit a woman, they intend to hit each other, right? And yet they're liable. So too, the case where if you hit somebody who didn't intend it and he needs a doctor, you're liable as well. So basically we say that Kavana applies to both cases. And also what applies is Enomis Kavin. In other words, the halacha is true no matter what. Whenever you cause the miscarriage, regardless of whether you intended it or not, you're liable to pay. And wherever you intend it, whenever you hit somebody else, whether you intend it or not, you're chayav to pay the doctor bills. So if that's the case, our kasha comes back. Why need Bala Shornoki? Because this puzzle says anoshim, and not oxen, it's about both mechavin and eno mechavin. So about both the case of Mishorim Bor, which is known to Gore, even though in this case it's not necessarily known to Gore, and about a Tam, who made a beeline to Gore, this person, in this one case. So why about Shornoki? Anoshim should apply equally to Mechavin and Emiskavin, meaning to Mu'an and Tom, regardless of Baal Shornoki, and therefore it'd be Anoshim and not Shvorim. It's good kasha. So Micah Dun, so what's the story? Why need Baal Shornoki? Says more, Kaidamar Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, be a topic of Beit Zmanav. Kaidamar Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak, it's like Rav Shmuel Rav Yitzchak said, V'tchil enim adar b'elo b'tam, we had that old Rosha back there, that Baal Shornoki comes at top of bottom Chafal from base, at top of Chafal from Dam, sorry, bottom of Chafal from Rav, top of Chafal from base, that Baal Shornoki comes to exempt from paying the May of it. In a Chanami, you don't need Baal Shornoki to exempt from the May Vlodos, reject that, because there's Anoshim and not Shvarim, and that excludes both Mu'ad and Tom. You just need Baal Shornoki to exempt the guy from paying for the May Eved, which is Shor killed. Okay? That's rough. Says Marmi, not only is Kevin, how do you know that if you damage an Eved, if your ox damages an Eved, you have to give compensation to its master as well? So Tom Lomer, interesting drosha, says, Obeni Gachobasi Kach, Vim Eved, etc. Right, the Gomer. It says if your ox scores a son or a daughter, and then Vim Eved, and then the next person says if it's an Eved and he dies, you pay 30 shkolim, right? But the way we dash it is Vibeni Gachu Basikach Vim Eved. But we take out the period between Vibeni Gachu Basikach Vim Eved, and you lump it all together. If your ox scores a son, daughter, or slave, you're liable to pay. So this rush is based on the principle of creative punctuation. Okay? Says more further, Rabbi Chia Barvar, Rabbi Shobar, Rabbi Yitzchak, Chanam Arlose Yosef, it's interesting, the Gilan Ephraim, Shatar Yisrael, and Mechamayim, all are basically the same, although the before the name Moshe doesn't. Very simple pshat, he says, what if you're Ma'atik in Evan, which is worth more than 30 bucks? He's a Nobel laureate in economics, this Evan. So he's worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, right? So what if, is there a cutoff point at 30 bucks or not? Oh, you're a Mazikim, sorry, I didn't kill him. You're a Mazikim. So is there a cutoff point at 30 bucks or not? Says more Lotev, Rabbi one said, Lotev Tosev sell an Iker. The Iker is $30. It's very much you kill him. The Tosev has the additional liabilities which you have in a case where you damage him as opposed to kill him. So there shouldn't be any more than the basic shot, the basic payment of $30. So therefore, for an Eved, there's never going to be any more than $30 payment for Nezek. Okay? No more than his actual value as dead or alive. But Charonama, the other said, no more shot called Nizko. Kaif for the 30 shekel is different than when he's alive. When he's alive, you pay whatever he's worth. When he's dead, then you pay for him only 30 shekel. Okay? Not when he's dead, but rather when, when he's dead, when you killed him, apparently, third shekel, yeah.
So it's a flat rate when he's dead.
Right, so flat rate for killing an Eved.
How are we passing?
I don't know.
I
don't see the letters either. I don't know how we pass it. So I think it's about down to Bobby.
In medical insurance nowadays, it's called capitation. You know,
capitation? You put the head back on?
Cap on the expenses, and no matter how much doctor bills you can bill for, you only get X number of dollars, no matter what you
I thought capitation is the opposite of decapitation. You put the head back on. Yeah. We have, that's the type of Jewish we have there. So it's a similar type of Jewish. I don't know if it's exactly the same. But it could be tzimik to show me. Okay. Says the Mishnah, Shoshia Mishacha Bekoiso. And an animal which is rubbing, an ox which is rubbing against the wall, which not for other men, the wall fell on the human being. If you had a mind to kill, so then of course the ox is put to death for doing that. We're assuming it did on purpose. If the ox had a mind to kill an animal, the ox saw them and killed a human being. Lack of had a mind to kill a goy, but he saw killed a Jew. When following Adam, I had to kill miscarried fetuses. Vahara ben Chama killed a preterm baby. In all these cases, potur, the ox is potur, just like a human being is potur, so too the ox is potur. Says Maravish, Kiyake kol nefesh adam. If a person smites all, and we dash in this any part of a nefesh adam, what does this come teach us? Rabbi Samaka Vish Bokadeh Lahomis. It's seeking teaching us about a case where the first guy beat him, and there was enough to kill him, but a second guy came and finished him off. In that case, who's liable? Who's liable? But I beat you enough, I bestowed upon you a mortal wound, basically a mortal blow. But then somebody else came and delivered the coup de grace. The second guy is right. That's right.
Tomorrow's been learning all along.
Right, right.
We had some cases.
That's right. We're going to expand that now. So somebody else came and hit him. He's tied to those who learn. A book they love. He said only if the first guy hit him, not enough to kill him. Then the second guy is liable. However, I'm Rabbi Lord, but I said not true. Feel yesh book they love. Even if the first guy's blow had enough to kill. Ubach Remi said somebody else came and finished it off. Hamemi Schaya of the killer person who finished can finish it off is a liable party. Okay? Now, this is important because of what we're about to learn momentarily. If an ox gores to death, a man or woman, this we deduce, just like a man bestows his nizok in whatever damages were rendered against him to his children, so too a woman bequeaths the right to sue for damages to her children as well. Veina Bali or Shishto says, well, how did the woman get it? Why did leapfrog over the wife? So our Reish Lakish says, Reish Lakish holds that a husband does not inherit his wife d'oraisa. So obviously he's flexible. So our Reish Lakish Kachpish or Rabbi Yeshua, that's Rabbi Yeshua Avia Mishnah, the father of Mishnah, meaning he wrote the Brises, which are the source in the Mishnah, says, B'koyper shel achar misa shonu. We're talking about here the kofar of after death, right? So since talking about the kofar of after death, I forgot what the right. The Bnei Moshe explains, because her husband does not inherit his wife in stuff that his wife's estate got after her death. The wife only inherits what her wife, her husband inherits what his wife had up to the point of her death. Stuff which comes afterwards, he doesn't inherit. So that's what it says here, that the woman is Morishur Nezek Lebanel. It's only about Nezakin, where the payment or the liability would generate after the death of the husband. Okay?
So she has investments that accrue interest after she's dead. She doesn't get
the interest. I assume that's considered to be new. I assume he does get that. Interest now.
So then, what did the car just say?
What?
What did you just say to the car? She doesn't inherit anything that she has after her death.
Oh, you're right. I made a mistake. Sorry. New stuff he doesn't get. That's right. The interest afterwards he wouldn't get. I'm sorry. My mistake. So, Tani, we learned. Now, this Gemara is obviously out of place, or at least it seems out of place. It should be really an next parent. Tani, we learned. I'm totally out of left field and just from parenthetical here. Tani, I'm somebody sells an ox to his friend. Needs an ox, turns out to be a gorer, right? So Rav Amar Mechatel, so Rav says the whole deal was null and void. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, no, Yachilu Lumei Marle, you can say to the guy, L'shchita Mechati Loch, I sold it to you for Shchita. So meaning, what's this Amachlokas of? Whether Erochim Momen Acharov, and you follow Rover in Momenis or not, according to Rav, you would, according to Shmuel, you would not. Says Moavet in terms of determining whether it's a Mechachtos or not. So they would have to do a hand recount there in order to determine what's going on. Says more further. Nasa Pidyon Nafsho. It's talking about, this is talking about where your ox scored somebody to death. Says you have to give a ransom. Whose ransom are you giving? Very famous Machlokas. Whose ransom is it? Machlokas, right? So says more, each tiny, tiny, tiny Nefesh Mazik, each tiny, tiny Nefesh Nizak. Some people say it's the Mazik who gives his own ransom. And some say it's the Nizak's value that he gives ransom. Now, of course, there's a Lumbus here, which Rid Baz brings down. Lumbus says if the Mazik gives his own value as ransom, that means that really he should have undergone the death penalty. So Kosh Baruch Hu spared him and said he can pay his way out of the death penalty. If it's the Nizak's value, then it's just straight up compensation. It's not a punishment. It's compensation. I mean, it's also a punishment. But it's compensation, really, for having caused the loss, right? You see the difference? Yeah, but they're both called kofar. Right, so machlokas is how kofar works. Which should you call kofar?
So.
Yeah, but that's not dafka, because kofar can mean instead of. So that would mean instead of the nizak, because he alone himself is still alive. Don't like that.
Instead of the mazik, who should...
No, instead of... What?
Mazik is redeeming his life, so kofar is instead of his life.
Yeah, okay. Right. Name it. Be that as it may. So it says more. There's machlokas, right? Yisai tai nefesh mazi, yisai tai nefesh nizak. Manda ma nefesh nizak. Who says it's the nefesh of the nizak? Which, you know, you go according to the value of the guy who was damaged. Now, interesting case. Hiko arishon akoyes misa. They're two oxen. Remember, kova is only a case where your ox killed, not where you killed. I can't see you get confused with that. So ox number one. No, that's a different child, but it's always when your ox scores. Okay? You don't trust me on that?
No.
No, you don't. You trust me, it's only if your ox scores something to death. So.
I did, and I couldn't find it.
Oh, yeah, it's only about Chazara, right? The name of the Chazara.
Wasn't there.
Maybe it's about Chazara by Shabbos. Anyway.
But that's how we should
insult
each other.
That doesn't necessarily make it right. Tarte mashma. Yeah. Okay, fine. Anyway, so I call Rishakai's meat. So the first animal smote the human being enough to put him to death. But Baal Sheni Bilbo, a second guy came, literally mixes him up, but here means his second animal came and finished the job. So you have two animals that are responsible. The first one could have done it by himself, but he didn't. The second one finished the case. Now remember, he said by human being, if that was the case, the second one would be chayav, right? So that's what plays a role here too. If you're going to say that there is damage on a human being up to the point of death, then Arisha knows they made this call. Even though the first guy really did enough to kill him, but he didn't, so therefore he pays damages, the owner of the first ox. Vasheni does the kofir, and the second guy gives kofir. Right? Second guy gives kofir. Why does the second guy give kofir? Because if it's a responsibility for the death of an individual, he bears the brunt of responsibility for the death of the individual. Right? Now, on the other hand,
No, because the ox.
The master is not liable to the death penalty.
No, but the ox.
That doesn't matter. That's all chiddush. Chiddush tells us that even though the ox gets killed, also the master pays. So, if you're going to say that there is no nezak until the point of death, then since we're talking about the main nizak, the being the main nizak, so it's not who's liable to the death penalty which determines, but rather who damaged the nizak the most. In other words, if you only could create dichotomy between nezak and kofir, the first guy did damage, the second guy killed. So the first guy gives nezak, the second guy gives kofir. But if you can't create the dichotomy, and all there is kofir, so since if you all kofir is the main nizak and not the main mazik, it doesn't go by the parameters of who would be liable were it two men who participated in this act, but rather goes by the parameters of who actually was the one who created enough damage that the nizak has to be replaced. Who's the one who created enough damage that the nizak has to be replaced? The first guy, right. So if they can have double whammy, then you give a double whammy, right? Nizak and kofir. If you only have single whammy, the single whammy is going to end up by the first guy who initiated the process, owner of the first ox which initiated the process. Now, that's command of my Peter Nafshel Shell. Vashay part, the second guy's part. That now command of Mar, that's like command of Mar that holds the main Nafshel Shell Nizam. What about command of Mar, Peter Nafshel Shell Mazik? You're paying for yourself. So that's, and in that case, if you're paying for yourself, in the case over here, for some reason, which I'm not fully sure about, there can't be kofir. Everybody agrees it can't be kofir. Because it's the main mazik, right? So it's liability for the death penalty, which determines, your own liability, which determines whether you pay kofir or not. So in the case where one ox gave it enough of a zetz to kill, gave the yumi enough of a zetz to kill him, the second ox didn't give enough of a zetz, didn't do any killing, but the second ox did complete the job. You know, the first one could have done it on his own, so the second one completed the job for him. So in that case, if you hold that it's Dmei Mazik, there's nobody here to pay.
Still not sure exactly why. That guy doesn't have to pay. Thank you. understood, but now I don't.
It's the main mazik. The second guy doesn't have to pay kofi, the guy who's ox from the bow bill. Although I'm making this up, but I think that this is the pshat, that even if you hold kofar as the main mazik, ultimately there's a subtle difference between the death penalties and kofar, because death penalties go on the person who killed an individual, but mazik goes on the person who was most negligent with his ox. In other words, he didn't watch his ox properly. It's not really a death penalty. A death penalty goes on the guy who technically committed the act of murder. But here, nobody committed the act of murder. So if you hold kofar as the main nizak, so that means the guy who ultimately dealt the final blow to the nizak, he's the person who's liable. So meaning it's the second guy who's liable to kofar, right? The second guy is liable to that. Pays Nezek, the second guy pays Kofar.
Right, but that's if you say
Ein Nezek Mekulo. Oh, you say Ein Nezek Mekulo. Because he has Dim Shad Nezek Mekulo. Let's go back for a second. Let's go back for a second. Again. Mandamar to the bottom of the page. Mandamar Nevish Mandizak. He says it goes by this. That kofar is the value of the person who was killed. So he called Rishon HaKoyesmi. So the first ox smote enough to kill. Vashay Bibel, the second guy just came and finished off the job. If you're going to say that kofar is the main nizak, so it's a form of tashlume nezek, right? There's nezek for less than death, and then there's nezek for death, right? It's on the same continuum. You pay, if you pay damage somebody, you pay, and if you kill somebody, you pay. It's payment for the damages in both cases, right? You're paying for the damage that you caused. So then, if we can, so look at it as a continuum. There's payment, payment, payment for damage. And then there's payment for the ultimate damage for death. That's the ultimate nizak. If you ultimate mazik, it's not damages. Better term is perhaps reparations. If you ultimate mazik, it's not reparations. It's a penalty. It's an oinesh on the mazik who did it. You see the difference between the main nizak and the main mazik? The main nizak is reparations. It's almost like the $30 for a slave, right? You're reimbursing the family of the nizak for the loss of this individual. The main mazik, you're not reimbursing the family. You're paying for what should have been, instead of you going to the gallows, you're paying money in order to bail yourself out, right? You're giving your own ransom, not the ransom of the person whom you killed. Is that given? So look at it now. Now it works out very nicely. So then, if you're going to say there's a concept of nezek until the point of death, and then nezek for death, so then you divide it up very equitably. Arishon Nosei Nizko, the first guy gives the entire damage up to death, and Nochdem Hasheni Nosei Kofer for having finished him off. Because you can divide up the nezek, say there's nezek up to death, and then there's the nezek of death itself. But in Tamar Enizokul, if you say you can't create such a dichotomy, that there's only, in a case where a guy got killed, there's only kofir. There is no nezik up till death and then death itself. There's only kofir. So in that case, Arishon Nosin Kofro. It's got to be the first guy who gave the kofir, because ultimately he was the damager and he caused the death. And it's not similar to the case of a death penalty. In a death penalty, there you could say the second guy is liable, right? That's the case of a human being who killed. But here, where the entire tashlum is for reparations, so then it's either the first guy pays nezek and the second guy kofir, or the first guy pays kofir and the second guy nothing at all. But there's no death penalty in the second one, therefore there's no payment to come upon the second one. In a case where the first guy's paying the kofir, because there is no separate payment for the nezek up to death, then the second guy is exempt from kofir, because the payment has already been made. Again, the second guy picks up whatever payment's not made by the first guy. If the first guy made the whole payment because it's only kofir payment and not nezek up to kofir, then there's nothing left for the second guy to pay. Okay, that's the old mainism. Okay? But commandam are pidyon nafshu shom mazik. According to Pidyon Nefesh, it's Pidyon Nefesh of the Mazik. Item Yeshi Zogi Bekulos. If you're going to say that there's Nezek besides Kofur. Now, here there can't be any Kofur at all. There's no Kofur. Impossible. If you hold Main Nafshu Shom Mazik and there are two damagers, then there can't be any Kofur at all. Why is there no kofir? Because it's liability, because kofir then takes place of the death penalty which should have been imposed upon you. But who's going to get the death penalty here? First guy can't get the death penalty, right? Because the first guy didn't kill him, right? The second guy can't get the death penalty either, and this is the rough part. The second guy can't get the death penalty either, even though were this to be a human being who killed. The second human being to have participated in the process would have gotten the death penalty, but precisely because these are two oxen who killed, right? And the ox which is involved here is also an ox and not a human being. So therefore, for some reason, the Gemara assumes that you cannot look at the owner of the ox as being somebody who would have been liable to the death penalty, since his ox only finished things off. I'm not sure, I still understand exactly why, but I sense that there is such a distinction. If you hold the main option shall nizak, then that can be imposed upon the owner of the second ox, because that's a form of nezek, and the second ox was contributory here. But if you hold that that's the main option shall mazik, it's your own ransom. So then, if the Gemara says, it can only go on the first guy. If it can't fit on the first guy, then it can't go on the second guy. And the truth is here, the way the Mechamayim is about to tell you, that even on the first guy, it can't go. So as it says, Ite Meshi Zokin Bekulo, I think I just realized why. because it's a special Gzeres HaKosos, by a human being.
No, I got it.
So Gzeres HaKosos by a human being, that even if somebody does Mixas Nefesh, he's liable to the death penalty. But there's no such Gzeres HaKosos by an animal. In other words, when you kill somebody, even though he's 90% dead already, you only killed the last 10%, then you're liable because you killed that last 10%. But when you kill, but there's no such halacha by an animal. There's Gzeres HaKosos stated by human beings, not by animals. So it comes out a very beautiful distinction. Now I think now I can say it very nicely. That, but if you ultimate nafshus shon nizak, it doesn't matter. It doesn't follow the parameters of the death penalty, and therefore it gets to be kofir. Regardless of who did what part, ultimately, where it ends, so somebody's going to be liable for kofir because it's a restitution payment. It's a reparation and not in lieu of a death penalty. But if you owe that it's in lieu of a death penalty, it should have been imposed upon you. And here it's the animals which did the job, and the animals were shutfim in this. There's no halacha which says that there's a death penalty or any form of reparation in the consumer reparations kapara for the mazik in a case where two animals did it in partnership. Okay? Now let's run through it one more time. I thought it was hard this morning. Madam are nefesh nizok. He says it's nefesh nizok. This going right there on my base. He called Rishon HaKohen. So then, it's nefesh nizok, somebody must pay. Somebody must pay kofir. It's a reparation. We'll figure out who can pay. He called Rishon HaKohen, Misa, Vashay, and Bilbulo. In termination, Saki, Bakula. If you're going to say this nezek up to death, so Rishon knows he needs kofir. The first guy gives nezek. Vashay knows some kofir. The second guy gives kofir. In termination, Saki, Bakula. Because there's no nezek up to death, Harishon knows he kofir. Then the first guy gives kofir. Vashay, the second guy's part. But somebody's going to pay them for the damages. According to Peter, that holds that it's not reparations, but rather atonement money, like a korban for myself. So then, in this case, there can't be any atonement. Because there's no halacha of shutfus by killing when my animals kill. Where human beings kill, and there's a shutfus, so especially because of the cause of the guy who did the last 10% is liable the whole thing. But by animals, no such gzeres HaKosos. So therefore, neither guy can pay kofir. There is no kofir. Well, can there be? There can be nezek. And that's why the Mecha mind's change is critical. Itema yeshkud nizogim bekulo, I'm about to make it. Itema yesh nizogim bekulo, you're going to say there's nezek up to death, even the kids where death occurred subsequently. Harisho no sin, it should be nizko. That's the Mecha mind's true change. The first guy gives nezek. There's no kofir because it's a death by partnership. There's no kofir, but the first guy gives good nezek. Vashani part the same guy is exempt. In Tamar, Ainu's on the blue, let's say there's no nezek in the case where there's a death penalty. Basically, it's like killing Ravimine, then Shnei Paturim, they're both butter, there's no kofir whatsoever. Again, according to Pshat, that kofir is to make mazik. It's got to be where, if were you to have done it yourself, you'd be liable for a death penalty. But that's only the case where your ox caused the entire thing. If your ox had a shufus with another ox, yes, by human being it's true that it's a gzeres HaKosos, we go by the last guy. But by animals, it's like there's no such gzeres HaKosos. And therefore, there's no liability in terms of kofir. Okay, let's go, let's finish two blocks. Whether we understood that or not, we spent enough time on it. Shari Simon. You have an ox of a woman, an ox of a Yisraimim, Shara Apotropos, an ox of a guardian, Shara Midbar. An ox which is roaming free in the desert, no ownership, Shara Ekdish, an ox which has, which loves to Ekdish, Shara Ger Shemes Venel Yorshim, the ox of a ger who died which has no Yorshim. So then, if all these oxen killed, Arelu Chayev and Misom. Even though there's some deficit in the ownership, right? Could be that in these cases there's no true owner, nevertheless the ox itself was put to death. Ravina said, Ravina Omer, Shora Midbar, the ox which is rowing free in the desert, Shora Hekdesh, the ox of Hekdesh, Shora Ger, Shora Mesa, Vela Yorshin, Peturim and Amisa, they're exempt from death from Nation, Ain Lob and Violet. There's no owner, there's no death penalty for the ox. My time, Rabbiuda, why it's what's large Rabbiuda? Vladbu Pavlo Ishmael, it says you warned the owner, he didn't watch it. And Bailim Leiluin, these animals have no owners. Leading the Zaki. What about in terms of damages? A fascinating question. Tan Rabbi Yeshua, right? He said, Leading the Zaki, Rameir Machayev, Rabbi Yudan Potter. You know what this means, everybody? It means if you have an ox, which is Hefker, and it's damaged. Kura Meir, if somebody goes into Zoich on this ox from Hefker, he has to pay now for the damages incurred by this ox. It's kind of like if, like, in case when you pick up Lahavdil, you pick up a property which has environmental hazards on it, right? You have to pay to clean up the environmental hazards. So it's here, this ox comes to you with baggage. So if the Ger Shemei Spain Yorshim, right? A Ger died and has no heirs, so it doesn't have anywhere to go. You pick up the ox, you're liable for any damages the ox caused during its owner previously. It's a very big chiddush. Rav Yehuda says, of course, Shepata, which makes more sense to us, but Rav Meir says, Yechayim. Lekoy from Mai, what if this ox killed, and now you pick up the ox, do you have to pay kofer? Right? Pedos, Rishem Rav Yehuda said, Hakomodim, Bekofer, Shuchayim. It's taka true. Everybody agrees, even Rav Yehuda agrees, that the person who acquires the ox has to pay kofer. It's an amazing thing. You know, even Rajas Manisok knows by kofer he has to pay. Says one, no. Some say Rabbi Yochanan, Mishra Rabbi Yana said, Kishem Shechokim ben Ezokim, Chachokim ben Korfer. Same Machlokas ben Ezokim is also Machlokas remembered by Korfer as well. Rabbi Yirmi, a boy, couldn't Rabbi Zira. Rabbi Yirmi asked for Rabbi Zira, Hech Avdin Uvda. What's Halacha Maisa, what do we do? On my Yisrael, he said, Rabbi Yeshua ben Ezokim. We say, like Rabbi Yeshua. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yeshua. Lein Ezokim, Rabbi Yirmi, Chai, Rabbi Yirmi, Potter. So this is Ezokim, it's Machlokas. But then it's Koyfer, everybody agrees that you're liable. Whoever picks up the ox, whoever picks up the ownership has to pay. An ox is going to be stoned. If you shall buy them and its owners make an ektesh, ain't no muktash. It's not valid ektesh, because it's already said to be as if it's dead. If you slaughter it, you don't transgress kachim machutz, but its meat is osir bano, because it's ready after exile the Gemara Din, after the judgments are pronounced. Imacholodi Gmardino, if before the pronouncement of judgment, Hikdisho Baalov, its owners made Hekdish, Muktash, then it's Mukodesh. Imshachto, and if you shechted, either you shouldn't have, Besar Mutzer, but you have the Mirz Mutzer, because no judgment was ever pronounced against it. Tani, we learned, Shor Sheyotzi Lisaka, fascinating halacha. I think it's in the Babli as well. Shor Sheyotzi Lisaka, the ox is going to have to be stoned. Nitzel Adam told me the Adam were found to be Adam Soyman. They lied. So Rabbi Yochanan Mar Kol Kodem Ozocha. Rabbi Yochanan said it's still Hefker. Because you were Misyayish on it. You gave up hope on this ox. You didn't know the Adam Soyman would come, so you gave up hope. Rabbi Shokish Mar, no, Yeish Tosu. It's not real Yeish, it's a mistake. So we had Hektish Tosu this morning, this is Yeish Tosu. So Yeush tells me the Yeush was Yeush is like a condition. Now that he found Adam Zoymim, so then he withdraws his Yeush. Somebody else can't get it. Played Evan a Yotziliori, but so Adam Zoymim. So even Evan is going out, and the Adam were found to be Adam Zoymim. Rabbi Yochanan Mar Zocha Atzmo. He don't say he was Zocha for himself. Rishlokish Mar Yeush told to Rishlokish. He goes free. Rishlokish says no. He comes from serving again. So it's a long Gilead Ashas. Gilead Ashas goes a little bit crazy. I don't really understand his question. But Evan, he shouldn't go free no matter what. It's late, leave it alone. Anyway, says the Mishnah further. Mesar l'shom rechinam l'sholem. You gave your ox to a shom rechinam or to a shoel. To a shom rechinam is a free watchman. Shoel is a watchman who is a borrower. Those who sell is a paid watchman. So it's a renter. Nichmas to Tavos Bayim, they pay instead of the owners. The ox becomes their liability. Yotzev Izik, if the ox went down to damage, Mu'am Mishan Ezek Shon, if it's a Mu'ar, it pays full damages. V'tam Mishan Chatzin Ezek, V'tam, it pays half damages. Karsha Balav in Mosera, the owner tied it with a chain. V'nov Fana Karoi, and probably locked the door in front of it. Yotzizik nonetheless went out of damage. Ravina Mer Tam Chayev, if it's a Tam, he's Chayev. Because Tam the Torah didn't say anything about watching it. So it's a custom, you're Chayev no matter what. he would see Tom being more chomer than Muad. Muad Potter, Shnamar Vleishman Abalov, it says, Muad, you're only liable if you don't watch it. Shomer, when he watched it. It's interesting that Tzpe points out here that J. Moshe, in the name of the Bavli, that Chatzin Nezik is to be Chayiv, because Tzad Tamus Bim Kleme Omeris, Yujami doesn't bring it down, but it still is half a Tam. A Muad is half Tam plus half Muad. So for the Tzad which is still Tam, you'd pay. For the Tzad which is Muad, you wouldn't pay, because there's a Chumer and Tam Muad, which brings about a Kula. Since you have to watch it better, if you did watch it, you're a pauter. Okay? Rabbi Lesnar says, a famous line, Ein lo shmir elo b'sakin. The only good ox is a dead ox. Right? Don't say anything. So therefore, as long as you didn't kill it, you're liable for it. I'm Rabbi Lesnar. Rabbi Lesnar said, Divir Raimer. Now, the Girsa, everybody here changes the Girsa in the war, so I'm just going to go with the flow and change the Girsa. I'm Rabbi Lesnar, Divir Raimer, Kod Raimer, Shmiras Nizokin, watching your oxen, is Kishmiras Shomer Socher. So I'm changing Girsa's left and right here, because everybody else does. It's like Shmiras Shomer, not Chinam as it says here, but Shomer Socher. In other words, that you have to watch your oxen on the same level that a Shomer Socher would watch your property. Din Rav Yudon, according to Shmiras Nizokin, or to another Girsa, Shmiras Muad, more properly, Shmiras Muad, according to Rav Yudah, the Shmira which is required from Muad is Kishomer Chinam. Actually, Rav Meir requires more Shmira than Rav Yudah does. Rav Meir is Tana Kama. He says that that you require that that if you did, even if you locked the door in front of your animal and it went out and damaged your chayiv, right? So that must be it's not enough to lock the door in front of it, which a shomer sechinam could do, but if you act like a shomer socher, you're liable on an even higher level. Remember, shomer chinam is only chayiv and shir, right? A shomer socher is chayiv and gnev and aveda. So a shomer socher, if he just locked an animal in a pen and it went out and damaged and went out, it left, he'd be liable to make restitution to the original owner, right? So that means that here, where the mayor says, if you left the animal in the pen locked up and went out of damage, you're liable. So that's a parallel between Shomer Sachar and Shmiras Nizokin. If for Shomer Sachar would still be liable, having left it in the pen locked up, so too the owner is liable, even having left it in the pen locked up. On the other hand, Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir holds that, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda holds that suffices. If you locked it in a pen, you're not negligent. Yeah. And Shomer Chinam would be exempt under those circumstances. Shomer Chinam is only chayv, he's poshea. He wasn't poshea. So too, Rabbi Yehuda exempts you from your muad from paying if you locked him up. So the level of shmir required for a muad by Rabbi Yehuda is the same level that is required for a shomer chinam. Again, according to the way everybody changes gears. Again, Kramer, shmira required for an animal is the same like a shomer socher, which means it's not sufficient to tie it up and assume it's not going to go away, because the shomer socher was chayv on aveda. That would be walked out of the yard when the yard was locked. Shomer socher would be chayv. So if it went out of the yard and went out was mazik, you're liable. So that's the shmir. So therefore, according to Rameir, shmir tzizok is kishomer sochar, and you're liable if your ox goes out and damages, if the ox goes out and damages, even if you bend it up. According to Rabbi Yehuda, however, no, as long as you are negligent, which is standard of shomer chinam, you're potter if it's a shoram muad. Because the Torah said, watch it. What is watching the fine as? Keep me in the pen. What do you want to say? Right, that's this machlokas. This is this Mishnah, yeah. Okay, only to Bob Yushami doesn't bring it down. Amrei Lezer said, Divrei Meir, Korna Meir. Did you, anybody dive? Anybody dive? You dive? You, yeah. Okay, but you're okay. You're a mistake. Okay. Divrei Meir, you're one of us. Okay. Divrei Meir, where it said Musar Shor, Arles Divrei Meir, Musar Shor should be short tam l'shor mechinam. If you gave a shor which is a tam l'shor mechinam, you gave a shor which is a tam to shor mechinam, and obviously he didn't watch it properly, you were watching on his lower level. Yotzaviz, he went out and damaged potter. But who's potter? Shomer is potter, but the owner is chayev, because you didn't give it to the right person. Yeah, he watched it basically as a shomer chinam, but you, the owner, retain liability because you didn't give it to somebody who's going to watch it safely enough, because you only gave it to shomer chinam. Yotzav and Yitraf, what if the ox, you gave it to the shomer chinam and went out and it became tleif? In other words, it went out into the wide world and it got damaged itself, not it damaged others. The Shor Mechinam is also potter. Why? Because he's a Shor Mechinam. All he has to do is lock it up. If it gets beyond the lock, it's not the Shor Mechinam's problem. He wasn't Poshea, right? Now, what if you gave the Shor Mesochar? If you gave your animal to the Shor Mesochar, you ought to be using it, then it went out of damage. So then Chayav, the Shomer is Chayav, but only if the Shomer wasn't Shomer properly. Meaning, if all he did was put it under lock and key, that's not sufficient. Lock key is not sufficient. You have to put it under constant surveillance. So then the Shomer is Chayav. Yotzav and Yitraf, and if under Shomer Socher's watch it went down and became Treif, also it should be Chayav. You, the Shomer Socher, is liable. Why? Because, again, Shomer Socher is Chayav and Gnev and Aveda. When it leaves a locked pen, that's considered to be Aveda. So therefore, the Shomer Socher is Chayav, in that case, both for Nizakin and for anything which happens to it. Okay? You take it on Rabbi Lezer, because Ray said on Rabbi Lezer on top. But be as may Rabbi Lezer, Divrei Rabbi Yudan. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Moser Shor Mu'ah L'Shor Mechinam. He gave a Shor Mu'ah to a Shor Mechinam. V'yotzev Yizikin, it went out and damaged. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it should say here, Potter. If you gave the Shor Mechinam and it went out to damage, the Shor Mechinam is Potter, but you're liable because you gave it to somebody who's just not going to watch it properly. Yotza v'nitraf potter. Also went out and became treif. The Shomer Sochar, the Shomer Chinam is potter, because he wasn't negligent. With Shomer Sochar, if you gave an animal which is a mu'ah to Shomer Chinam, Yotza v'nitraf went out and was mazik chayev. Then Shomer Sochar is liable, because the Shomer Sochar, of course, should have watched it. Yotzev Izik Potter. Right. This should be Potter. If you gave the Shomer Sochar, Yotzev Izik, it's Potter. Your pot, gave the Shomer Socher went out and was mazik its potter, both you and the Shomer. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that by Mu'ah, you just need to lock it up. That's all. So in this case, potter means both of them are potter. According to Rabbi Meir, if you gave the guy the Shomer Socher and he watched it, one of you was chayev, either you or him. Even if he's potter, you're chayev. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're both potter, because all the Torah required for a mu'ad is shmira at the level of shomer sochar. More than that, the Torah itself didn't require. That's Rabbi Yehuda's ikar chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda's chiddush is that there's a certain level of shmira which is sufficient. Beyond that, the Torah didn't require to be shomer. Nobody else agrees with him about that. Rabbi Meir doesn't agree with him about that. Rabbi Lezer Zichel doesn't agree with him about that. So according to Rabbi Meir, if you gave the Shomer Sochar, it's equivalent to you having watched it properly. Both of you are potter. According to Rabbi Meir, no, if you gave the Shomer Sochar, he's potter. He gave the Sharmer Sachar at that level of Shmira, so the Sharmer Sachar is Chayav. Because once he accepts himself to be a Sharmer Sachar, he's Chayav on the Neve and Aveda, he's Chayav also on the Nezakin as well. Okay? So therefore, the difference is like this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, if you give it to a Sharmer Sachar, everybody's exempt. According to a mayor, if you give the Sharmer Sachar is liable. Okay, by Sharmer Chinam, you'll have the reverse of that machlokas. When I mean to give it to Sharmer Chinam, oh, that's not confusing. Bottom line is, there's a basic machlokas, how much shmir is required, and really contends it has to do with muad, what shmir is required. So be as it may, nitraf, says Gemara, chayiv. Now, the Sharmer Sachar goes out and it becomes nitraf, then the Sharmer Sachar, either Sharmer Sachar is chayiv, or there's an interesting gist of Shah Territory Israel, which is that he wants to say that here it should say Potter. But I don't want to get into that because it's already extremely late. So let's just leave it the way it is here. Nitra of Chayiv, in other words, the Sharmer Sachar, if it goes on damages on his watch, according to Yehuda, the Shmira was enough. It's Potter on it having damaged others. But on it having been damaged, that a Sharmer Sachar is Chayavan. Amar Elazar, Elazar said, how do we know that Shmir ain't Shmir Lasakin? Balo Shomaru. Most people watch their oxen. But Torah Chiv also. The Torah is Mechayav nonetheless. Amar Elazar says, Ko Shmir Shomar Torah. And anytime the Torah says you have to watch your ox, Afilu Kifu Chemas Bazel, even you put upon it a metal wall, Aim a Shine also over Gufo. It doesn't work. It has to do with the ox itself. You have to be killing the ox. Therefore, we check it out. If it's suitable for... now, we look at the ox itself, actually. And gufo doesn't mean we always have to sort of look at the tendency of the ox. If the ox is a weakling, a 98-pound weakling, then according to Blazer, even if you don't necessarily slaughter it, you're okay. But if the ox is a regular ox, so then, the only shmir that there is the shmir of killing the ox. Okay, I'm sorry, it was a very rocky road to travel tonight. I thought it'd be easier, even though it was hard for me this morning. But at least we did two blocks.